1 Peter 3. I'll talk to you about the man who wrote this epistle. Now, I would look a little bit at the portion that you're studying and take up where you left off. 1 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 7. Ye husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. That's all we'll read for now. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, that you have told us the way to heaven causes us to rejoice. We are thankful that in addition to that, you have told us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And part of this godliness is that of husband and wife. We pray that we shall understand that what we consider from the scriptures is your voice from heaven. How perverted, how corrupted are the thoughts of men concerning marriage. How sacred, how heavenly are your thoughts concerning marriage. So, Father, let us understand your thoughts. By thy Spirit, prepare hearts and empower lips, and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I will teach you a little bit tonight. May have you to turn to portions of the Word of God. But first, in chapter 2, look at verse 18. Servants, be in subjection to your masters. 3, verse 1. In like manner, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. Verse 7. You husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives. The message tonight is about the dual responsibilities of marriage. It could easily have been that God put in his word, if man would have his way, only one-sided responsibility, that of the wife to the husband. In fact, until New Testament time, such a thought as a woman's privilege when it came to separating from the husband was not even mentioned. If you ask me, in the Old Testament, how did they go about getting a divorce from a wife, I could tell you. But if you said, well, tell me how a wife went about getting her divorce from her husband in the Old Testament, I would say, I can't find it. It was so one-sided. But in the New Testament, it tells you that men and women are guilty of this sin. But in the Old Testament, there were certain responsibilities spoken to the woman, and quite often, the responsibilities of the man were not dwelt upon as fully. But please notice that in this epistle, having spoken of the responsibility of the wife in verse 1 of chapter 3, it also says, in like manner, you husband, and it gives their responsibilities to the wives. I remember something that was supposed to be funny. A man was asked, are you married? And he said, my wife is, but I am not. Do you understand that? It meant that his wife had all the responsibilities of marriage, but he did not. Now, that is what man would like. But according to God's word, no such thing is known. And here, are some of the responsibilities of men, and I'm going to show you other responsibilities of men, because you've already dwelt on the responsibilities of women. And notice the difference here. The responsibility of the wife in verse 1 of chapter 3 is her responsibility toward a husband that needed to be won. Isn't that sad? You understand that God never intends this to be. But at times, two people who do not know the Lord Jesus as Savior are married, and then one of them comes to know the Lord. And then a woman who came to know the Lord, but her husband did not, she is in a position to try to win her husband to the Lord. That is left. And when we come to verse 7, you husbands in like manner dwell together with your wives according to knowledge. There is no disparity here that is spoken of. Evidently, they are both believers in the Lord Jesus. Not evidently, but certainly, because it says that the wife, in verse 7, is a joint heir of the grace of life. But the husband of the woman, in verses 1 on, is a husband that needs to be won. Now, if the woman brought this on herself, and some women do that, they want a husband at all costs, even if he has not believed in the Lord Jesus as Savior, and they force this issue, and then how sad, because they are unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But some are unsaved, the husband is unsaved, and then the wife believes, and then her desire in life is that her husband may be won to Christ. How joyful it is in verse 7 when a husband and wife that have dual responsibilities are the responsibilities of a Christian husband, a Christian wife. And that is what we have here. So, in the Word of God, it is not that the Lord says the woman is responsible for these things. The man has no responsibility. It's not that way at all. Even our Savior is brought into the picture in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says this, I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Huh. So I have a head. Yes. The head of the woman is the man. So the woman has a head. And the head of Christ is God. You see? You say the Lord Jesus does not exist, though he was a son, yet learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, most of us want to be without responsibility. But God said, my son is responsible. The head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is the man. This is God's social structure. It is not this way because of sin. Before sin ever entered into the world, the man was the head of the woman. Now, additional things were added when sin entered into the world. But, according to the scripture, the man is the head of the woman. And because of that, there are certain responsibilities. And those responsibilities, manhood and wifehood, are, as we are going to consider, as we go along. Now let me tell you this, it's something that's very interesting. In the Old Testament, there are two words that are used for the husband. When you perform a marriage ceremony, it's quite in order to say, I pronounce you man and woman. Because in the Old Testament, the word for husband is man, and the word for wife is woman. And when they are brought together, and God joins together, then instead of man and woman, they are husband and wife. But they are the same words. But in the Hebrew, the word ish is man, and the word isha is woman. And etymologically, the word can mean that the woman was taken out of man. Which is woman, isha, because she was taken out of man. That's one meaning. Wife, yes, woman, she was taken from man's side. But there is another word for husband, and it means master. The word Baal. So, this is your husband, and the word is translated ever so often, master. And in like manner, in the New Testament, you have the word aner, but also, on an occasion, you have hupandros, which means not only a man, but when you have a wife, it is a woman that is under the authority of a man. So we can't escape it. In the marriage union, the man is the head of the woman. And because of that, the woman has certain responsibilities to the man. This is the structure. This is the way that God has conceived it from the beginning. But what God wants to take place is this. This structure that is to be maintained throughout our existence on earth. God has no intention of changing it. He never expects the woman to rule over the man. He never expects the children to give rules and commands to the parents. But his children obey your parents in the Lord. It's wives be in subjection to your husband. But at the same time, God says, these things that must be, because I have seen fit in my wisdom and in my design to set them up this way. He said, I want them to be as enjoyable as possible. And because of that, God has said, I am telling men their responsibilities as well as women. And think of it this way now. When God speaks to the woman, he tells her to be in subjection to her husband on the basis of love. And when the husband has the wife in his subjection, that subjection is to be governed by love. And I'm thinking this, that if a woman said, my husband, my head, is the one who issues orders and commands and desires to me out of love, I think a woman could live with that. And at the same time, if a man only spoke those things to his wife, who was in subjection to him, being motivated by love, I think the wife could abide with that. But when a man says, you're in subjection to me, I am your head, you do what I say, that's when things are going to crumble. Because it speaks about certain behavior of Christian among Christians, and it says at times, you no longer walk in love. And when you no longer walk in love, then the relationship is destroyed. And then, even though the husband is the head and the wife is still to be in subjection to her husband, it is cruel, it is bitter, it is chafing, and it is something that is intolerable. And God says, I do not want it that way. And so the woman is to obey out of love, and the husband is to command out of love. And if both, on the basis of love, fulfill their responsibilities, then the life can be beautiful. But if not, it can be intolerable. So let me think of that. When being the head of my wife, I tell her this, I tell her that. And at the same time, when something is told her, let her remember that she is to love me as well as to be in subjection to me. And if there is that love, then this is what it says. It says in 1 John chapter 5, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. If you love the Lord, are his commandments grievous? You say, no. But if you do not love the Lord, indeed his commandments are grievous. Now, notice these words. Husband, dwell with your wives. Marriage is when a man and a woman dwell together. It says they come together. Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother's tent. That is when they dwell together. That is when a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves unto his wife. They dwell together. And that is when joy can begin or misery. But let me tell you how it is if there is love. We think of Jacob in the Old Testament, and we usually think of him as the supplanter, one that is so bad. But one of the loveliest things is said about Jacob that you can find in the whole of the Word of God. He came, a poor man, to his uncle Laban, and he wanted to marry his daughter Rachel. And he said, "What shall I do? I want your daughter Rachel." And Laban agreed that he would work for him 7 years, and after those 7 years, you may have my daughter Rachel. And it says that Jacob agreed with that, and it said Jacob served Laban 7 years for his daughter Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Think of that. 7 years, few days, because of the love he had to her. And what if he did not love her? How intolerable it would be. And so I want you to see something funny, because the scripture does have these humorous passages, but instead of turning to them, I will just quote it to you, because it speaks about dwelling together. I told you that Jacob, anticipating dwelling together with Rachel, 7 years of labor for Uncle Laban, as but a few days for the love he had to her. But the Bible knows how dwelling together in a different way, how it can be. It says, it is better to dwell in the corner of a house than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's what it says, you see. And it also says this, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And that's how some marriages are. And some homes are filled with bitter, tyrannical husbands. And indeed, the same thing in a similar way could be said concerning the woman dwelling with such a man. That you can't help but think of two people that are supposed to come together and life is to be beautiful, but instead they want to separate and be at one end of the house. Well, at least they're in the same house together. But this is what God tells us, and I want you to see these verses, because this is what God expects of marriage. Now turn to Ecclesiastes, two portions. Ecclesiastes. We're talking about dwelling together, just as Peter said, dwell with your wives. And so we're going to talk about dwelling with wives, and this is God's command. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Listen to it carefully and remember it. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life of vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of vanity, for that is thy portion in life, and in thy labor wherein thou laborest under the sun. God commands you, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. So all the days of your life, now that you're married, you have to live with your wife. Why? Because a woman is bound by the law to her husband so long as the husband liveth. And so according to God, we live together with him. And it says, live joyfully with him. But that's the kind of life I want to live. A life of joy my whole life long. So often we say, well, there have been a few happy moments in my marriage, but how many moments does God want that marriage to be joyful? Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. Now that is the goal. And if my life is not that way, if marriage is tedious and burdensome, then I am not loving my wife. My wife is not loving me. The dual responsibilities are not being fulfilled. And also, the command in Ecclesiastes 9 to live joyfully with my wife whom I love all the days of my life that is not being fulfilled. Nevertheless, this is an ideal, because so often there is contention, there is bitterness. And I want you to see a similar command in Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5, and this is part of marriage. Proverbs chapter 5, and look at verse 18. It says, let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of thy youth. As a loving hind and as a pleasant doe, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Think of this now. It says, rejoice in the wife of thy youth. And it tells us part of what married life is. And turn to 1 Corinthians 7, because this is another scripture that must be compared to Ecclesiastes 9 and Proverbs chapter 5. Now in 1 Corinthians 7, look at verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife her due. I said that there was dual responsibility. And likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her body, but the husband. And likewise the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be by consent for a season, and so forth, and so forth. The same thing that God commands in Ecclesiastes, in Proverbs, is commanded in the New Testament. And because of selfishness and because of defrauding, because that is what happens when we do not fulfill our responsibilities, because of that, this is when a marriage that should be one of joy turns into one of bitterness, and life is not beautiful, but it is one that drags on. And this is what upset me so much when I remember a man who was married, and they were both Christians, but his wife had had mental problems, and he had been sick, and he thought of coming home, having to live with his wife the rest of his life in constant contention, argument, criticism. And the friend said, we believe that he just said, I'm going to die. I have no will to live anymore. And the poor man that was expected to live, he just died. And there was no reason for it other than this life was intolerable to him. But think now, what if we could read Ecclesiastes 9, live joyfully with your wife? And you say, well, how can I? This is what I want you to see. In Peter now, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and this will be an anticipation of the lesson to come. But I want you to see it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 10. This is quoted from Psalm 34. He that willeth to love life and see good days. Do you see the difference when I read it that way? It's not that I just want it, but you must will to love life and to see good days. It is something that must be worked on. I am determined by the grace of God to enjoy life and to see good days. And that is what God's will is for you. I know what God's will is for you. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, he giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And so if you have riches and you're not enjoying them, then you are not living the life that God expects. And it is something that is a matter of the will. And this man did not have the strength, the will, the determination to go home and try to work out things with his wife that had had mental problems. And so he just gave up the ghost. But evidently, if, as it says in the Old Testament, if with all your heart you truly seek me, you shall ever surely find me. Thus saith the Lord. And so it is a determination. Like a man says, I'm going to enjoy life. I'm not going to miserably go through life. I'm not going to have an existence. I'm not going to survive. But it says over and over again in the book of Revelation, he that overcometh, to him shall be given. And so this is the kind of life that God expects of us. All right. Notice that the life is not going to be one of joy and of love unless these responsibilities are fulfilled. I read to you in Ecclesiastes 9, live joyfully, and in Proverbs it says that you are to rejoice with your wife, and then it shows the responsibilities that are to be fulfilled. And if they are denied, then life is not going to be what God expects. These things must be worked on. I have not power over my body, and the wife has not power over her body. These things should be consulted. They should be taken into consideration. And these things are spoken of in the Old Testament. The responsibility of the man, I want you to see it. Turn to Exodus 21. Exodus 21. And the reason we know that these three are binding is that even for a woman that had been sold because of poverty into slavery, these things were demanded that they be fulfilled by her husband. Look at verse 7. Exodus 21, verse 7. It says, if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. If she please not her master, who hath espoused her to himself, then he shall let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a foreign people, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he espouse her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three things unto her, then shall she go out for nothing without money. Notice these threefold responsibilities. It says he has to give her food and raiment and the duty of marriage, which I told you in Proverbs 5 and in 1 Corinthians 7. This is the responsibility of the man to the woman. And this is why we have to dwell together with the wife according to knowledge. Now think again back in 1 Peter chapter 3, dwell together with your wife according to knowledge. I told you it took determination. He that will enjoy life, will see life, will have good days. It takes determination, willpower, but at the same time, it takes knowledge. It says the husband is to dwell together with his wife according to knowledge. Things that can be known. Things that have to be known. And first of all, take this into consideration. The knowledge that God gives us in this very passage. Understand that she is a woman who is a daughter of Eve. You work at being a daughter of Sarah. You have to behave in a certain way. And if you're successful, then you are a daughter of Sarah. But all women are born daughters of Eve. And that means there are certain characteristics about them, and God has told us what they are. All men are born sons of Adam. And son of Adam, with sin, I'm going to behave in a certain way. And being a daughter of Eve, a wife is going to behave in a certain way. That. Even though this is so, we understand that God, in His Word, exalts a woman to a place that she's never occupied before. It says, you are to dwell together with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the woman as the weaker vessel, as being joint heirs of the grace of life. Now, I want to tell you about this word, joint heirs. I mentioned four things that were jointly ours as Christians, and this is the same word. Everything that is yours as men that I mentioned is the woman as well. She is a joint heir of the grace of life. So you are not looking down on her as someone who is inferior, but she is a joint heir. Now, if it says that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what that means? You say yes. We share jointly with Christ in all that he is to inherit. And it says, then this is true of the woman as well. And the weakness, I take it here, to be a weakness of the bodily frame, because try as women will, they have not power to run faster than men. They have not power to lift more than men. But they are weaker. I remember that there was a golf pro named Babe Didgerton, and try as she would, she could not hit a golf ball as far as a man. She could outdo many men, but she couldn't do that. And other women that want to lift, but they can't do it. And so this is what you understand, that a woman is a weaker thing physically. And because of that, we men should take that into consideration and not place upon them heavy responsibilities. Only recently did the armed services ever allow women to enter certain roles. But this is what they found out, that when they were in the tank corps, they weren't able to do all of this manual work. Why? Simply because they were the weaker vessels. But, alas, they can be as smart as the men, and they can fly airplanes as well as men, but they don't have the strength of men. And taking that into consideration, I tell you this facetiously, because of that, then I take the trash out. You see, my wife is the weaker vessel, and all men take the trash out, but also other things we should do. If you dwell together according to knowledge, you understand this about the woman's physical frame. You understand also about her emotions, the judgment that God has passed upon her. It says that because of sin, your desire shall be unto your husband. And because of the woman, God says, I will greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception. And there are physical things associated with women because of the fall and being daughters of Eve. And those things have to be taken into consideration. And in like manner, the woman should dwell with us according to knowledge as well. We are sons of Adam, and because of thy sake, the ground is cursed. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth. You shall eat your bread by the sweat of your face your whole life long. And so we men try to do everything we can to make life easy, but God has said, I put these obstacles in your way. And we have to fight the earth to make it do certain things. I've never had to plant weeds in my yard. They grow of themselves. I've had to go out and take them out. Dandelions, I've had to dig them up. Onions keep coming up. I take them away and they grow back. The good grass, I have to keep planting and do everything I can. There are certain things because of what we are in Adam and in Eve. And the Bible says, dwell together with them according to knowledge. And then, how many times has a wife said to a husband, or a husband said to a wife, how many years have you been living with me, and you don't understand yet that I don't like that? And a wife will say the same thing to her husband. Well, I guess we're not dwelling together according to knowledge. Maybe when you reach a certain age, you say, oh, that's right, she doesn't like that, or he doesn't like that. So God says we're to dwell together with them according to knowledge. Because if not, then instead of enjoy life with your wife, there is going to be that constant contention. And what will happen is that the man will want to go to that corner of the house, and the wife will want to go to that corner of the house. And their whole life long will be one of endurance and survival. A man from the old country said this, they do not believe in divorce. And not because they love anymore. Something has happened. But because of commitment, they would never divorce their wives. But that is so sad. I can't divorce this woman. I'm not going to do it. And so what I have to do is to endure life with this woman all the days of my life. God says, this is not to be. You are to live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of your life. And we are not to have a happy day now and then, but the whole of life is to be one of joy. And if we considered one another and dwelt with one another according to knowledge, knowing what a wife is in Eve, knowing her own disposition, her character, and then would adapt to it, and in generosity and in kindness, love the woman and behave that way, I think that life could be beautiful. It says this, because you are to give honor to her as being a joint heir of the grace of life. You say, well, I deserve life more than she did. You deserve life no more than she did, nor she you. We are all saved by grace. It's the grace of life, and she is a joint heir of that grace of life. You say, well, that will happen if I do not fulfill this injunction. Then you will be miserable, and instead of laughing at the things in Proverbs that I brought to your attention, instead of laughing, you will be enduring those things, experiencing them, and you will laugh bitterly when you think of it. This isn't what God wants. But at the same time, something more important, that if you are not living joyfully with your wife, if you are not living according to knowledge, then it says your prayers are going to be hindered. Do you think that if you are angry with your wife, that you can go into the presence of God and have an enjoyable, quiet time, a time of devotion with God, when there has been an argument and you have been bitter against your wife? It's impossible. Your communion with God is broken, as well as that communion with your wife. And you cannot enjoy God, and you cannot enjoy life with your wife. And because of that, what man is going to blot out from his mind all the contention that has been going on in his family, and then go to God and pray and say to him, now overlook my disobedience to you, not loving my wife, and not dwelling together with according to knowledge. You overlook all of that, but now answer my prayers. God says, no, I will not answer your prayers. Your prayers are going to be hindered. And alas, probably, the man's prayers, the men, their prayers are going to be hindered, but it will destroy the woman's prayer life as well. And so what God wants is this. He wants us to dwell together according to knowledge, and he wants these two things to be present, the responsibility of both. It says, husbands, love your wives. It says that again and again. But it says also in Titus chapter 2 that the aged women, the older women, are to train the young women to love their husbands. I hope you older women are training the younger women to do that. But if they have to be trained, then it isn't automatically going to come to pass. It is something that is inherent in us, but it has to be train. And therefore, that's what the aged women are to do, to train their wives to love their husbands. So we have that injunction. What are husbands to do? Love your wives. What are wives to do? They are to love their husbands. Now that is the same. Both are to love one another. But then, the husband is to love his wife and not be bitter against her. You're to speak the truth in love, and at the same time, the wife is to obey her husband and to reverence her husband, and if she loves him, it will not be a difficult thing. So let us go through life as Jacob went through those 7 years. They seemed unto him but a few days because of the love that he had for Rachel. May that love be my love for my wife and her love for me, and your love for your wife and her love for you. Let us enjoy life with our wives. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the things that you tell us, what life can be, and so often what it is, one of contention, one of misery. But let us tell us concerning wives, that a wife is the crown of her husband. Let that be true of the wives here, and also let it be true that the wives love their husbands, and let them reverence their husbands. And may it not be a difficult thing, because there is something in the husband that deserves that obedience and deserves that reverence. Let us, our Father, not demand that our wives do these things, because the Scripture has placed us as their head, but our Father, any commands that we give, let them be tempered by love, and the obedience, the service that is rendered by the wife, let it be out of love. And then, as it says concerning you, this is the will of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Let life be one of beauty, and let life be one of joy, and let it pass quickly because of the happiness that is ours as man and wife. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.